Welcome to In the Jar, where friendly face ain't far. Now come on, get you a seat. We're gonna have us a cigar. First deal. So I've been reading a lot of James Clear lately. James Clear's an author. I don't know much more about him, but he sends me some wise ass shit in my email inbox every week. And thought I'd throw some juice up here to start the show. I split problems into two groups: muddy puddles and leaky ceilings. Some problems are like muddy puddles. The way to clear a muddy puddle is to leave it all alone. The more you mess with it, the muddier it becomes. Many of the problems I dream up when I'm overthinking or worrying or ruminating fall into this category. Is life really falling apart, or am I just in a sour mood? Is this as hard as I'm making it, or do I just need to go work out? Drink some water. Go for a walk. Get some sleep. Go do something else and give the puddle time to turn clear. Other problems are like a leaky ceiling. Ignore a small leak and it'll always widen. Relationship tension that goes unaddressed. Overspending that becomes a habit. One missed workout drifting into months of inactivity. Some problems multiply when left unattended. You need to intervene now. And so I guess to sum it all up, the question you ask, are you dealing with a leak or are you dealing with a puddle? I mean, damn, y'all. I've been cold calling a lot of folks lately trying to grow my business during the day. And I do it in power hours, right? So got me a little trap phone. Been having that. And I'll just dial, man. And I don't get any Instagram. I don't get any Twitter. I don't get nothing on that phone but, you know, my work tools. And today I was in between power hours and just wasn't feeling like I wanted to go any longer. You know, that state of mind when you just feel blocked a little bit. You know, the resistance is high. There's a lot of friction between, you know, what I understand in a working capacity is sales, picking up the phone. And so when that starts to register with you, you're able to kind of overcome it a little bit easier. And sometimes all that takes is getting outside. So what did I do today when I felt the friction? Got me about 10 minutes of sun. Even tried to eyeball a little bit of it through my fingers, Trump style. And went back and hit that thing, man, and we had a good productive day. So I feel this. I wonder what James Clear, and again, you know, James Clear's written a book called Atomic Habits. It's a really good one. I ought to go back and read it again. And he's just dropped the app. And no, this, you know, this ain't a promo. I guess it is. But James Clear don't know me. I know James Clear. He's got a habit app called Atoms where you plug in a habit, you know, you put in what kind of person you want to be as a result of the habit, something psychological going on there. And it's good juice, man. It's good juice. It's called a 3-2-1 newsletter. It's like one question, two something, three something else. But I really always appreciate getting those in my inbox, so I thought I would jump in with that. Next deal. Okay, so this is probably the biggest, definitely the biggest football news of the week. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago on the show. I can't remember what episode, but the NFL has chosen to move forward and implement changing the kickoff to XFL style. So the kicker will be where he normally is. The kickoff team, I believe, will be about 10 yards in front of the return team. I don't think it's five. Five would be a little too close, but I could be wrong, right? So with that, the onside kick is going to change. If you want an explanation of how the rule has changed on a complete level, go back a couple episodes and take a look at that. I'll try to throw that in the show notes. So this is how they'll work with new NFL kickoff rules. If a team's trailing in the fourth quarter, they may declare an onside kick by notifying the referee. The referee will then notify the receiving team. So if you're smart, you know where this is going or understand football. No more surprise onside kicks. You remember the clip of, I wish I put that in here. That clip of Pat McAfee where nobody's within sight and he just dribbles in and falls on it himself. No more of that, right? You see this clip here from the Super Bowl back in 09 between the Colts and the Saints. Ain't going to happen no more. The actual kick is going to look the exact same. And I'm sitting here wondering, because I think we've talked about this on the show before, man. Like, people get lit the fuck up on onside kicks. So, obviously, this is a safety play from the NFL, right? They don't want guys rumbling all the way down anymore and ramming folks like they used to. That's what I liked to do because I got me a little screw loose. But anyway, trap phone ringing. Thought I'd put this on silent. So, when you're a kicker, right, and you do an onside kick the right way, there's a number of ways to do an onside kick. But in my opinion, the right way to do an onside kick is to kick the very – and I'm not a kicker, right? So, if any kickers are watching this, I know, you know, we get like, you know, 30, 40 views a show, so probably not. But kickers, if you're watching this – don't mob me if I'm wrong. But from what I understand is that the ideal kick is when you kick that very top of the ball real good so that it ricochets up real high, right? Because then that gives your guys some time to get down there and try to get a jump ball scenario, almost like a rebound in basketball. But what goes on in between that, and I've seen this in real time in a football game, you're on the receiving side, right? This ball is way up high, and you're trying to feel, you're like, holy shit, you know, this is a big play. We got to get this ball, you know, lock down this game, whatever the scenario is. And you're sitting like a duck waiting for that ball to come down. Guess what's happening, man? These guys are 10 yards down, 15 yards. I don't know the exact yardage. They're rumbling. They're ready to come down and get you and clean your damn clock. So maybe they thought about this. They had to, man. They understand the game and are around it much more than myself. But it's like, you know, that's arguably, in my opinion, there's a lot of scenarios, but that's one of the more dangerous aspects of the game, right? Like, it's like real time, like carnage going on around when that ball gets kicked the right way and goes up real high. And as a kicker, you want that, right? Depending on your strategy. So here's the NFL's full explanation. At any time during the fourth period, the kicking team, if trailing the opponent, may declare an onside kick by notifying the referee prior to the start of the play clock, 25-second play clock after the back judge hands the kicker the ball. The referee will then notify the receiving team before starting the play clock, and the following rules will apply. That's great, or sorry to hear that. I'm not reading all of that. But we'll see if we can pull some key points. Yeah, I ain't reading all that, homie. Next deal. So, with that being said, after this kickoff rule came into effect, Cordarrelle Patterson reached an agreement on a 2-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he reunites with his former head coach, Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith did not work out as a head coach in Atlanta, and now he's the OC in Pittsburgh. So, with this new kickoff, my man Cordarrelle Patterson, arguably one of the best kick returners in the history of football, Devin Hester's got the crown. I remember Josh Cribbs. Only OGs are going to remember that name. Old kick returner. He was basically a primary kick returner. He was a receiver, but you know, didn't get reps on offense. Josh Cribbs was big for a couple of years because it seemed like there was a season or two where like damn near every kickoff he got, he ran it back. And I remember they had a reality TV show called Josh's Cribs. And I never watched it. Maybe I watched it briefly. I was young, you know. But that guy was a big star, man. I miss having those, like, iconic type of kickoff returners in the NFL. Please forgive me if I'm leaving any names out in the game currently. But ain't nobody done it like Devin Hester. But Cordarrelle Patterson is arguably creme de la creme, even as he gets into his older years as a return specialist. You know. So, Steelers get a jackknife on special teams. And I mean, shit, man, you can use Patterson as a damn slot receiver. You can run jet sweeps with him. You can run screens with him. You can use him as a damn running back, even though he's number 84 and it looks goofy as hell. It's obvious that, you know, the jersey numbers in regards to the position don't really matter anymore. But Pittsburgh Steelers, it'll be cool to see him in the black and gold. Don't like having him in the AFC North. Run the risk of the Cincinnati Bengals getting a kickoff return on him. But I digress. Raheem Mostert and the Dolphins signed a new contract today, as of the day of this shooting, worth $9 million. And then the head coaches and owners and all important executives are having their annual meeting as of the time of this shooting in Orlando, Florida. And one major thing that I'm hearing is a topic of discussion amongst owners is team succession plans. Right, so the Raiders, the Bears, the Cowboys, and the Patriots, they've all got real old owners. And so the league is starting to say, hey, we gotta figure out who's going to be running the ship after you guys are out. And it's like, from what I understand, from the time I spent working in the NFL, it was only a year. I think Jim Irsay is a great owner. He's obviously got his personal situations, and everybody knows that. But I just don't know how I feel about second, third generation owners in the NFL. I met with Michael Bidwill, who's the owner of the Cardinals, back when they offered me a job. I didn't take it because I came out of that meeting thinking, this is the guy that's running the show. Don't get me wrong, it's case by case basis, right? But I think when you hand off an NFL team to, you know, the son or daughter of a potential, you know, generational ownership run, you know, it's really hard to instill the right values, work ethic into that next generation of owners. And the way I look at the stock market is what goes up must come down. So it'll be pertinent to keep an eye on this next generation of owners. I'm not saying it's going to go bad, but the NFL's experienced a whole hell of a lot of growth, and there's not many entities like the NFL out there, right? In any realm, business or otherwise. So I hope the NFL keeps on humming, but it's obvious that the league and its owners are starting to get concerned about who the next generation of owners might be. And it's only four clubs, but you look at these four clubs and they are four iconic franchises, right? Bears, you got the Halas family. Raiders, you got Mark Davis. Cowboys, we talked about old Jerry Jones last week. And then Bob Kraft. So I'm sure they've instilled good values in their children. I think Michael Bidwill and the Cardinals is a anomaly of a story. Obviously, you got Irsay, who's a generational owner. I think being in that building for a year in Indy, it was a great experience. I was a low-level sales grunt, and they still, you know, fed me. They still took care of me. You know, they would give all of it. We didn't make the playoffs that year, but they were saying they were going to give all of us bonuses if we made the playoffs, and more bonuses if they advanced. And I don't know if all clubs – we talked about this before. Not all sports organizations are built the same. But I don't know if all clubs do that or not. So – good topic of discussion, something to look out for, something that might not be on the front page of ESPN is the fact that they're talking about succession plans for owners. That's a serious discussion. Next deal. Jadeveon Clowney is signing with is signing with the Carolina Panthers. So Clowney signed with the Panthers. Okay. Jadeveon Clowney joined the Carolina Panthers, was universally well received amongst the team's long suffering fan base. They were in desperate need of edge rushing help, and he was arguably the best remaining free agent sitting on the market. They traded Brian Burns to the New York Giants. They're going to be scary up front, brother. And let's see if he got paid. Clowney signed a 2-year deal that comes with $20 million attached. It could be worth up to $24 million with incentives. So this article says he's no spring chicken at 31 years old. but the former number one overall pick is coming off the best campaign of his professional career by a considerable margin with the Baltimore Ravens last time out. I mean, man, I feel biased, brother, because that clip against Michigan, that one play, y'all all know the play I'm talking about.
Wow. Michigan at the 41. What a hit! Ball's free! On the ground! South Carolina deserves to have it, and they do!
Cloudy just says, I'll take care of business right here. You give me this long to catch my breath, I'll come off the ball and rock you and get it right back to our offense. It's a power play off the left side, and Cloudy ignites himself.
Everybody who's watching this show has probably seen this clip before, right? I've never seen a football play, I don't think, that violent. And ever since I saw that play, Jadeveon Clowney could be 47 years old, 47. And my ass would think of this play way back when and be like, yeah, fuck it, sign him. I want him. I remember watching his high school film, dog. I would imagine he's probably like 6'6", 250, 260, lean muscle. I think he went to high school in South Carolina. I remember watching this guy, this defensive end-sized, uber-athletic human, returning kickoffs and running them back. They put Clowney at running back, bro. I'd kill myself trying to plug a gap and tackle him, even in high school. So the Panthers get, in my opinion, a dog. And they go on their merry way. I'm surprised he's only 31. That game that we just showed feels like forever ago. You had fucking John Gruden calling that game.
Now, I'll tell you what, man. I call Jordy Nelson the circle, man, because when he runs a route, there's no corners around him. Next deal.
This just happened today, as of the day of this shooting. Jets are trading with the Eagles. The Jets are getting Hassan Reddick, who's a fantastic former defensive end for the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Eagles will get a third rounder in 2026. It looks like it becomes a second if Reddick plays 67% of snaps and he has to have 10 or more sacks in 2024. I know he'll get the 67% because they need him busting off that edge. But 10 sacks, man. I mean, I think I saw a graphic on ESPN today when this news was breaking. I was in the damn barbershop. And it's like TJ Watt, Miles Garrett, Trey Hendrickson, my boy, and then Reddick. So Jets had a piece. Hopefully, Mr. Aaron Rodgers don't tear his damn Achilles. I know he won't. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a season or two good left in him. And you had this piece up front for offensive linemen to deal with, along with Quinnen Williams and others. Next deal. Rams are signing Tre'Davious White to a one-year deal. So, former Bills corner gets his shot in L.A. I know Sean McVay knows a good football player when he sees one. I was surprised the Bills cut him. We talked about that weeks prior on the show. Obviously, the Bills are trying to cut costs and other teams. But the Rams get a guy, probably get him at a bargain. I don't have the numbers here, but guy's got good football left in him. He's a great player, great at the line of scrimmage, jamming guys up. He's long, and I'm sure Sean McVay And whoever the defensive coordinator is over there will figure out how to really get him frustrating NFC West opponents. Next deal.
All right, thanks, Al. How about two Heisman trophies?
Caleb.
To support USC. Matt Leinart earlier, now Caleb Williams. Love and some Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Who doesn't love Earth, Wind, and Fire?
He's going to be a busy man in
That boy, Zesty. This man, Caleb Williams, got dragged pretty bad on X this past week. People were pointing out the pink phone case. They were pointing out that his nails were pink. Some even said he had lip gloss on. And I saw a lot of, like, how do I say this? Fellas with alpha male in parentheses next to their name, you know, saying like, this is not a man. Young boys need to look up to football players who are real men, and this is not the example you want to set. And all this fucking, you know, basically clickbait for 18 to 23 year old men, right? It's just like, yeah, he shouldn't be doing that. And it's like, brother, just let him do his thing. Let him play football. Obviously, he's famous. He's one of the most hyped up draft prospects in recent memory. And I think it's got some substance to it. You know, it's just like, let him do his thing. You know, like, if he ends up sucking eggs with the Bears or wherever he ends up, like, that, okay, then we can ride him. Then we can be like, oh, he plays bad football because he had those fucking pink nails. You know what I mean? But, like, we're kind of in that time period where everybody is already, myself included, desperate for football to come back, and we got all this time until it is back, and leading up to the draft and all these free agent moves. I mean, you know, we're a small part of it. Like, right, we're talking about it. And I feel like people just get starved for football and they start, you know, jumping on any damn thing. But, you know, this is unique, right? You know, you ain't seen something like this since damn Dennis Rodman. And Dennis Rodman took it to a damn crazy extreme. But, you know, he's at a women's basketball. I think somebody on Twitter this week pointed out that, like, he was at a women's basketball game and that was, like, a reason to drag him. It's like, dude, I don't look, in my young, immature, not sure what to do with my testosterone days, did I shit on women's basketball every now and then? Yeah. Yes, I did. But at the end of the day, man, like, I'm a competition advocate. It's like, you know, if I see some girls playing basketball on the TV and they're chirping, and girls are mean too, dude. Like, in competition, I mean, they'll chirp you, they'll bump you, they'll elbow you. I mean, they're conniving, you know, competition. Please don't martyr me. In competition, they're fucking mean. They're conniving. They'll elbow each other. They'll hit each other in the, you know, and it's like, there's way too many, point being, there's way too many alpha male influencers, and it's clear that their audience are like the real impressionable young bucks that don't know what to do with their testosterone emotionally. I don't even know where I'm going with that, but I think y'all understand what I mean, right? Like, the type of young bucks that, like, take everything that Andrew Tate says as biblical, you know, those types of folks. You know, we could get into that all freaking day. But anyway, Caleb Williams, he's going number one overall, I think, unless some crazy surprise shocker happens. J.J. McCarthy, man, at Michigan. I forgot to throw the clip in this week, but he had a damn pro day, brother. And he did like a little play action, roll out the other way, and just flipped this sucker up like 60 yards dot. And I think literally, damn, I wish I put that clip in. Maybe I will. I think execs are literally seeing this clip I'm talking about and just like their mouths watering over it. It's like, he's getting a lot of hype. Do I still believe in Jaden Daniels a whole lot? Yes. Michael Penix Jr., he's getting a lot of traction with the execs from what I'm seeing. Somebody on ESPN I saw today said that the Cowboys should draft Penix and then let Dak's contract go to free agency next year. A little fresh start. I thought it was a little dramatic, but like the Cowboys are kind of seeming like Kentucky basketball. Oh, I'm going to get martyred for saying that. Kentucky basketball, damn, gets all the hype every year. The fans are all just kind of like, this is our year. We got it. This is our year. And then they exit in the fucking first round of the you know, playoffs tournament. And it's like, dude, something's got to change. And the thing about University of Kentucky basketball is that nothing's going to change. They're all – I'll hold my tongue. Cal's going back to Kentucky next year. And, yeah, I'll hold my tongue. Next deal.
Somebody has done messed you slam up, son. I ain't showed you this yet, but somebody has done, I mean, look at that right there. You see what that says?
Yeah.
It says, what you think about that?
What you think about that?
They going straight to damn hell. I do not like this damn S-H-I-T.
They photoshopped Auburn shit on him.
You hit two cuss words and spelled one out, didn't you, Willie?
Yeah.
You don't like it. They said you was pulling for Auburn now.
I ain't pulling for no damn buzzers.
You ain't never pulling for the buzzers, are you?
Never pulling for no buzzers. The buzzers stink. They suck.
What do you think about whoever done that right there, Willie? They ought to be ashamed of themselves, hadn't they, Willie?
They ought to be ashamed of themselves. Like I said, they're going straight to damn hell.
We don't give a piss about nothing but the Tide. They already know that. They got lucky when they beat the Tide, didn't they, Willie?
I'm a Tide man.
You don't like it.
I don't like it. I think it sucks.
Well, you don't have to get them back.
I'm about to get off here, but I'm going to say some more cuss words.
Damn, hell yeah.
Roll Tide, roll.
Damn, boy. I love that Roll Tide Willie is kind of shining a light on the culture down there a little bit, because that's what the folks are like down there, and they're fun as all get out to hang out with. And I mean, damn, Roll Tide Willie, I feel like he's just got like, you know, it's almost like a damn soundboard like I got on the pod track right here. It's like he's got don't give a pick about nothing but Tide. And then he's got, you know, blick, bam, a blick. And it's just like those two words, just soundboard, soundboard. That's his brain, soundboard, soundboard. But he's fire, bro. I really, you know, he's blown the hell up in the last couple of months. And the college football season ended like, you know, almost 3-4 months ago. So, I mean, that's kind of becoming the trend of the last couple clips, is like, I think people are just starving for anything to do with football because they miss it so much. But I think he was pissed off because somebody had photoshopped Auburn stuff on him, and his boy showed it to him. Of course, he's trying to gas him up, get him going, and you can see him get more pissed off as the video goes on. He said, go straight to hell! You know, and Bama fans are like that, brother. They are actually, they have a lot of hatred for Auburn, and vice versa. You know, I feel like, you know, I've never been to Auburn. I went to school in damn Birmingham, which is like 2.5 hours from Auburn, 45 minutes from Tuscaloosa. Been to T-Town a couple of times. But, you know, you sit at a damn Buffalo Wild Wings in Birmingham, man, during an Alabama football game. Those people will lose their minds after a 3-yard gain. Every play, they're on it, brother. And I remember one of us, we were sitting in there one time. We was getting real annoyed because every time Alabama gained a single yard, you know, somebody would be raising hell. And, you know, looking back on it, I should have appreciated it a little more, the passion, I mean. But one of the boys kind of as a joke was like, "War Eagle." And, like, someone heard it from across the room and was just like, damn, shot up, stood up, like ready to fight, like staring at my buddy that said it. And it was like, this shit was real, bro. You know, about damn slap your mama. You talk about Auburn like that. You know what I mean? So, next deal. I mean, like, how do you do that? Just let me hit a green, bro. How do you? I want to watch that again. I mean, up and down, keeps the arm straight. I mean, shit, brother. It's got to be the club head placement, right? Because, man, I get so frustrated because I feel like my iron swing, you know, like I feel like I understand the basics of the mechanics, but then I'll swing through and it'll hit the, you know, the right edge of the club face and just, it's like, and you could feel it too. You could see the damn, you know, if you're playing on a real fairway, this ain't a real fairway or whatever, but, you know, you can see the ball mark on the wedge from where you hit it. And it's just like, I mean, really, I wanted to show that clip because it's damn impressive. It was literally the size of the ball and he gets it. So, anyway, next deal.
No matter how good you get, the ice doesn't get warmer and the heat doesn't get cooler. If you stay long enough, it always will create a challenge, which is an amazing thing and a beautiful resource to just have something so simple that can create a challenge.
Yeah, so this came from, I think it's a page on Instagram called XPT something. I don't know. It's probably Extreme Performance something. But it's a page I follow. You know, it's basically talking about all these different recovery mechanisms that we talk about on the show. And I thought that was a really good explanation of cold therapy, right? You know, it's never going to get easier. It's become a habit for me, but still to this day, I've been doing it about 2.5-3 years every day now. And every morning I damn wake up and I'm like, what if I didn't go in today? And there are some days that I don't, you know, they're scattered, but it never gets easier. Same with cold calling. It never gets easier. You got to show up, sit down, fight that friction every time, fight that resistance every time. And I think the beautiful part of it is overcoming that resistance, overcoming that little piece of your brain. It's like, oh no, don't do it today. Oh, don't. It's okay. It's okay if you don't show up today. You know, and it's like, no, dude, no. Because like we said on the James Clear spot on the first deal of the day, you know, you missed that one, man, if you get into a bad little spell, it could turn into months. And that could turn into, hey, man, I don't do that anymore. And it's just, you know, colds changed my life. Cold therapy, getting in cold water, it's changed my life. So thank God for that. Jesus, bro. He chained up too. That's foul. I mean, he's wilding. And that other one's just sitting there like, yeah, I'm bulling. I mean, he was I saw that come up today, man. And I mean, the balls on that old dude, bro. Those Cobras, they got to be defanged or something. I looked at the page and there were more videos of this monkey chained up, fooling around with these damn Cobras. And like, he literally, this damn monkey was like getting in the Cobra's face, like literally from me to him. I go, and Cobra, you know, it lunge at him, but it obviously never hit him or else it would kill him. And I'm sitting here thinking like, okay, like, how do you, like, I've never seen a snake, man, like, you know, you can't, I feel like you can't tame a snake like you tame a gorilla or something, or even like a big Bengal tiger, you know, on your Mike Tyson shit. Like, I've never seen a cobra or any kind of snake for that matter that, like, you know, grows friendly with another animal like that. But it's clear that there's some kind of like symbiotic relationship between the cobra and this ape where the cobras aren't going to hurt him, or else whoever's taking this video, whoever owns these animals, wouldn't feel comfortable not just letting the ape around the snakes, but chaining him up, dude. What even, like, I don't know. I just thought that was crazy. Next deal. Hell yeah. Hit him with the walk off. Hell yeah. That reminds me of a clip I saw a couple of months ago. It was like this kid playing like basketball in a little mini hoop in a room, and he fucking, you know, threw it down or hit a shot or whatever, and he just kind of like turned around and ran back. Smooth like that, boy. I don't know. This guy's torso is awful short. I wonder what condition he's got, but he's still out there doing his thing. I didn't even know what was going on with this clip, man, because whatever the caption was, it was in another language that I could not comprehend. Next deal. Hell yeah.
He in the lab cooking.
I love hounds, dude. I grew up with a dog like that, and my mama used to call her Mouth. And you know, I can't imagine the moment, because I've seen a good bit of these now where, you know, people take a hound, get him howling, and sample it, auto tune it, throw it into a little instrumental. I can't imagine the epiphany type feeling that the first like producer type guy felt when he was like, you know what, I'm gonna get this dog to bark in a mic and auto tune it. You know what I mean? Like, you just get that boy in the lab cooking a little bit, and it's gonna sound good. The auto tune gonna do the work. You know what I mean? Shout out T-Pain. That man T-Pain, though, I feel like he got dumped on a little bit back in the 2000s, for only using autotune. That man has proven all of those haters wrong. I saw a Tiny Desk or something with T-Pain. He'd been doing a lot of acapella type stuff, acoustic type stuff. Goosebumps every time, brother. That guy's got a damn voice on him out of Tallahassee, Florida. Next deal. This guy, man. That's cat.
Somebody went, oh.
It'd be one thing if he was making them, right? Cat.
It was Ratch.
I don't know, man. I always used to get made fun of for having a broke jump shot. Still do by some of my friends. So it kind of hits a nerve for me, man, when somebody's maybe it makes me feel better about myself that, like, there's people with, like, more broke jump shots than me out there. I mean, that was beat. He just, I can't even, yeah, maybe, just boom, separates. He fucking literally separates, but it's not even pure. It's just bricks. Next deal. Oh, hell yeah, baby. Hell yeah. Yeah. Get on there.
Six.
Yeah, this boy won too. Damn, bro. So, I'm from Kentucky. And in Kentucky, horse culture is a real big deal. You know what I mean? You got the Keeneland meets in October and April, where at Keeneland Racecourse, they open it up and they run horses every day for the month of October, month of April. You know, you obviously got Churchill Downs in Louisville. I think they run in the summer in like June at night or something. I don't know if they do it that way anymore. And then obviously the Derby. So, you know, in Kentucky, like in my hometown, Lexington, there's this little old spot called the Red Mile. And my buddy John Lee York will be able to attest to this. We used to like to go down to the Red Mile. It was an old chariot racetrack, right? So they didn't even like the type of races you see, like the Kentucky Derby, those are thoroughbreds. They're free running. Red Mile in Lexington, Kentucky is a little chariot racing course, right? So you got somebody being sitting back, right, and they got a chariot with wheels on it, and the horse is pulling them, and you race the horses that way. It's not as high speed, which is why it don't get as much you know, love as the thoroughbreds, and the thoroughbreds are obviously the creme de la creme genetically with horses. But I digress. The Red Mile is a damn chariot track, but they got betting terminals with TVs everywhere. It's almost like a sports book before sports books were legal, except you couldn't bet on sports. You bet on the horses. Now you could bet on sports at these joints. But we used to go down there, man, just like, you know, during the summer in college when we ain't have shit to do. And we go down there, man, and some of the folks you see, they look like they damn mug your mama for $5. You know what I'm talking about. But they're damn down there betting on horses. And we used to watch these guys, man. There's something about gambling addiction that is really dark, obviously. It's ruined a lot of lives, but there's something kind of funny about it too. You know, it's just like, you know, you see a guy and you know he's down to his last $50 and he's watching this horse that he's got money on, and you know what kind of horse he's got money on, right? It could be 3, it could be 5, it could be 11. And he's sitting there watching, he said, "Come on, 11. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on." And this guy's boy won, right? So he's feeling good. It don't happen that way about 95% of the time. But we used to just see these damn guys, man. I mean, literally, probably damn, you know, going to the stove to drink damn water out of the tap. You know what I'm saying? And they'd be sitting there watching. Come on. Come on. Come on. And they have their racing program. You have a damn program like rolled up like that guy had. And it's like you're whipping a horse, you know. And it's like, dude, you, like, I don't know, man. It's just like this kind of illusion that, like, we have control over the things that we're betting on. It's like we personally identify and we're like,
I'm right, and like I all the way down to like I can affect this by, you know, come on, you got it.
And it's like, dude, I just get, if I see someone in public, I saw this video on Twitter, man, I just get weak at it, because I've seen exactly that many times.
And to wrap up the show, I thought I'd throw a nice little deal in there. Tim Ferriss is another guy that I get emails from, and every week he sends out Five Bullet Friday, right? It's like five different things. It's like what he's eating, what he's writing, you know, or not what he's writing, what he's watching, you know, etc. And I found this little pro tip on the deal. It says, forget Siri, turn your iPhone's action button into a ChatGPT voice assistant instead. This only works if you got an iPhone 15, so I can't do it. My bum ass got an iPhone 14 Pro. But apparently, ChatGPT just like this week, like enabled voice commands or something. And so the reason you got to have an iPhone 15 to do this is there's like a little shortcut button on the side. And so you can activate your phone. You can configure your phone to route to ChatGPT voice as a shortcut. And totally forego Siri. And so I imagine it's pretty damn cool. So if you're watching this, you got an iPhone 15, iPhone 15 Pro, go download the app, throw a shortcut in there, and it sounds like you got a Siri on steroids. So that's the end of the show. Listen, leave your thoughts below if it so beseeches you. If we hit you in the chest this week in any capacity or otherwise entertained you, hit that subscribe button. And as the greats say, be a friend, tell a friend. We'll see you next week.